Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, we've got so much content to cover this morning. There's no way we're going to get to it all this morning, but I do want to try to at least play one clip from Laura Ingraham. I was going to get to it in the 6 o'clock hour, but there was so much to rant about. But Laura Ingraham, she played audio. I don't know if it's the Canadian guy or if it's a guy from another country, but they were talking about tariffs and how President Trump is doing reciprocal tariffs. In other words, these guys are tariffing us, and so he's going to tariff them. And this guy says, well, if Trump does away with those tariffs, we're ready to do away with our tariffs in an instant. And so Laura Ingraham's like, okay, so what are you waiting for? I mean, isn't that just that's the extent of it, right? David Noble, good to see you, by the way, in the house.
Yeah, here. great point you were making earlier about, hey, everybody loves to talk about how they hate tariffs, but they've never complained about all the tariffs on the U.S. that have existed for all of these years. And so, that's a really important point. The other really important point that I think people ought to be thinking about is the non-monetary trade barriers. And here's the deal. So when I was in law school, I did a foreign seminar at the University of Zurich in Switzerland where we did.
Sweet. Wow.
I actually did a presentation with a law student from Switzerland about trade barriers. And it was specifically about dual use goods. Are you familiar with a dual use good?
Explain it for me. I'm just a caveman. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah. You might know this because it's military related, but a dual use good is a good that can be used for both commercial business purposes and military purposes. So there's a whole bunch. But my point is that this stuff is extremely complicated. Trade rules and trade barriers are very complicated. For example, you may have trade rules in place that have different tariff rates for a T-shirt based on what the material in the T-shirt is made out of and what percentages of material is in the T-shirt. And then imagine that for every single product. You're talking millions and millions and millions of pages of regulations detailing each individual part. So it's extremely complicated, but then what they do is they put these non-monetary barriers on. And so, for example, like with the that is a fantastic statement from the National Cattle and Beef Association. One of the things they were talking about is you've got the European Union that says we won't accept any beef from countries that don't believe in man-made global warming and for countries that don't try to kill their cows. Because remember, the EU is killing their cows.
Oh, yeah,
they're killing their ranchers, trying to kill off the ranching business
all across Europe. Yeah.
And so it's not just that they have tariffs on American beef. They have non-monetary. For some reason, my mic is like really hot right now.
It's weird the way. Yeah,
you were sounding great on the radio on the drive-in.
But it's these
non-monetary barriers. And so then what you're going to see is you're going to see the Democrats come out and say, "Well, Donald Trump, Donald Trump is lying. Like these other countries don't have tariffs that high on us." Well, that's because it's complicated, and you have to account for the non-monetary barriers. And so if the EU has a 0% barrier or tariff on our beef, but they have a rule in place that prevents any beef from the U.S. going to Europe, that's the equivalent of having like 1,000% tariff or whatever.
Well, you mentioned Switzerland, and I just heard it on the radio earlier this morning. Switzerland, 61% tariffs charged to us, right? Oh, but Donald Trump bad if he wants to charge a tariff to them. I mean, give me a break. Israel, our friends in Israel, they're doing away with their tariffs. So, sounds like we've got a friend in them.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. This guy stayed mostly cloudy today. We're going to see some more scattered areas of light snow. It's a mixed precip moving in this afternoon across the Bozeman area with rain showers in the Billings. Highs from the lower 40s in Bozeman to about 49 in Billings. Tonight, rain and snow shower chances turn to snow showers with up to around an inch in spots with low temperatures back in the lower to middle 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The coverage has been mostly negative, even among some media conservatives, of the sweeping global tariffs that President Trump imposed yesterday, as high as 54% against China, if you count previous levies, but also against nominal allies or ex-allies like Canada, Mexico, and even Ukraine. But the New York Times, to its credit, has a sidebar piece saying Trump has a point about the global trading system being unfair to the U.S., despite the fact that there is a certain amount of exaggeration and hypocrisy, according to the paper. Now, the problem is the other side of the equation, higher prices in the U.S., also getting a lot of attention. And as Senator John Kennedy, Republican, said, in the long run, this may work, but in the long run, we're all dead. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe. Hey.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So Laura Ingraham had a great segment last night where she talked about how, look, a trade war, there's been a trade war for the last 50 years. It's just the trade war has been against us and we haven't been fighting back ever, was basically the point that she made. But then I don't know if this was the Canadian guy or who this was, but I think this was the Canadian guy, but I can't remember from the segment. But listen to what he said as President Trump, on what he's calling, what did he call it yesterday? Remember, David, Liberation Day? That's right. President Trump's calling it Liberation Day, basically for American manufacturers who are being hit with all these massive tariffs all over the world. Dozens of countries that have these massive tariffs against us. Listen to this particular soundbite.
Let's sit down and discuss this, because it's just going to hurt American jobs.
Do you think it's fair that you have tariffs on a whole number of products?
That's right. And we'd be willing to take those off tomorrow if he took all the tariffs off.
Does President Trump know that you'd be prepared to do that?
He knows, and Secretary Lutnick knows that we're willing to take these tariffs off like in the next minute if he said he's taking their tariffs off.
Okay, we're waiting.
Yeah, we're waiting. So do it then. So do it. You've had these tariffs in place. Oh, but the first day Donald Trump puts them in against you, almost sounded like an Aussie accent there. I wonder if that was the Australia guy instead. But
it applies to everybody.
Yeah, it applies to all of them.
It
yeah.
applies to everybody. You know, the one thing that I think that people liked on, I didn't realize this until Marco Rubio said this. And frankly, it was interesting to me because when I heard this from Marco Rubio about how we got into this situation on tariffs, it was like, that makes perfect sense. And so here's what he said. Marco Rubio explained that the reason we got into this situation where we completely opened up our market to everybody else and we never demanded reciprocity and we never demanded other countries lower their trade barriers and lower their tariffs on our country, the reason for that is it's all from the Cold War. It was during the global, yeah. we were in a global ideological struggle against communism, and we went to these other countries around the world and said, hey, we want you to be a capitalist, free market economy. We don't want you to be a communist country like the Soviet Union. We're going to open up our markets. We want you to trade with us. We'll buy products from you if you just don't go communism. And people, and that's an explanation for a lot of what happened between 1946 and 1991 is the Cold War. We were in a global... Now, everybody,
and for a while, we could get away with it because we had such a strong manufacturing base. But then you see the Rust Belt and you see these... And you see all of these, you know, manufacturing centers that are just rusting away right now. And it's like, wait a minute, why are we continuing to be the world's piggy bank? Why are we also going all over the world trying to buy friends and influence right now in a post-Cold War environment? And then we give them our money, and they still don't act that friendly to us. So we're obviously not buying much friendly influence, are we?
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, it would make sense during the Cold War when you're, and frankly, you know, if I one of my pet peeves is when people second guess the decisions of American foreign policy leaders that happened during the Cold War, because nobody really today alive really understands really what that was like during the Cold War to be concerned about communism. Now, the funny thing is everybody thinks we defeated communism with the fall of the Soviet Union, but I don't think we really did.
We imported it.
Yeah.
We imported it here. Yeah.
But here one other point, if I might, Aaron, here. Like, I think the interesting thing here is back during the Cold War, when we were allowing countries to trade with us and not putting tariffs on and not demanding reciprocity, we were doing that because it helped our American national security, because it helped us win the Cold War, it helped us prevent countries. But we were using trade policy to advance our interests. You know, we were using our tariff policy to promote American interests worldwide, to promote our win in the Cold War, and then that ended, right? And then now we never used trade or foreign policy to really benefit America until now. And now we finally have an American president that says, "Hey, this is like an old, like archaic system from like the 1960s and 70s that we've got in place here. We, like you said, we haven't been getting anything out of this deal. So now, let's go back to using trade policy to promote American interests like we did during the Cold War."
Yeah. And by the way, you know, the NCBA, if you guys heard me share the statement from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, they were talking about, you know, all, you know, Australia, Vietnam, Thailand, Brazil, Paraguay, the European Union, all of these tariff and non-tariff trade barriers against American beef. Last time I was living overseas, I mean, I would shop out on the economy, out on the town and everything. And I think... you couldn't find American beef in the grocery stores there at the time. This was in the Middle East, but you could get beef from like Australia and New Zealand, maybe even South Africa, I think. And it did not taste the same.
Oh, no.
It was nowhere near as good.
Right.
I'm not saying that because I'm biased towards American beef. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to even knock the Aussies or the South Africans. I'm just saying American beef is, oh my goodness, it is a world of difference in the taste.
Oh, yeah. I've ordered beef and steaks and burgers in Africa and Asia and Europe, and I've had the exact same experience. I'm just like, this is literally like what they think of as beef.
Yeah, you're like, is this the mystery beef?
I think we're particularly spoiled here in Montana, because the Montana beef is even better. But American beef, you know, nationally is just so much better. And it's just so obvious when you travel around the world and it's just like, wow, this really is lower quality beef.
Especially when you get it directly from the ranch. I had a friend, he gets his beef from S Ranch, you know, the S Ranch down south of Hardin. Great folks, great family. But he makes smash burgers. Have you ever had like made your own smash burger? So you roll it up in like a ball. And then when you put it on the grill and you take like a heavy cast iron and you just smash that thing down and it makes like a thin burger, kind of like what you get at like, say, a Five Guys. Holy cow. I'm smashing burgers all the time now. It was so good. But not just because of the smash, but because of, you know, the Montana beef. I mean,
right.
I mean, beef in America is way better than beef anywhere else. But when you get it directly from a Montana rancher, my goodness, can you really taste the difference?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Burke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health, a country that has one of the world's worst problems with obesity and diabetes, also has new guidelines to help fight it off. Mexico officially launching a prohibition of junk food sales in its schools. Schools will now forbid any food or beverage displaying even a single black warning logo. Package labeling that began in 2020 indicating the food is high in salt, sugar, calories, and fat. Mexico's education ministry wrote, "Farewell junk food," on social media platform X. The country's tackling of childhood obesity and diabetes is also being watched by other world governments. UNICEF classifies Mexico's childhood obesity epidemic as an emergency and also notes that Mexico's children eat more junk food than any other country in Latin America. The agency says highly processed foods and sugary drinks account for about 40% of the total calories kids are eating every day. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump announced sweeping new reciprocal tariffs aimed at reviving U.S. manufacturing and addressing global trade imbalances. The move includes a minimum 10% tariff on imports from at least 60 countries, with higher rates for China at 34%, Japan 24%, and the EU at 20%, and a 25% tariff on all imported automobiles. Trump said the tariffs support U.S. farms and ranchers hurt by unfair trade barriers, highlighting high tariffs on U.S. dairy exports to Canada and beef restrictions from Australia. He claimed the policy would generate trillions in revenue, reduce the national debt, and pressure countries to open markets. Numerous countries impose tariffs and non-tariff trade barriers on American beef that inhibit opportunities to export high-quality U.S. beef products into their or other countries. Australia sold roughly $29 billion to American consumers last year. Meanwhile, the U.S. was not able to sell a dollar of fresh U.S. beef in Australia. Vietnam places a 30% tariff on U.S. beef, while Australian beef faces no such tariff. Thailand places a 50% tariff on U.S. beef. Brazil and Paraguay, which have a history of dangerous foot-and-mouth disease, but despite overwhelming evidence of their animal health risk, the Biden administration continued to allow U.S. market access to Brazil and Paraguay. That is now on hold. The European Union also places numerous non-scientific Green Deal restrictions on American beef, limiting market access. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, I really want to pivot now to another topic. David, is that okay with you if I pivot to another topic, or you got something you want to yap about first?
I've got three things I want to yap about.
Let's roll with you. You're giving your time to us here today, so yeah, you tell us what you want to talk about first.
Okay, first is huge news, I think. You covered it, you tweeted about it, but the this is crazy. The Border Patrol, Spokane, the Whitefish Station of the Border Patrol, recently at a traffic stop in Kalispell, identified six adult males from Honduras, Mexico, and Guatemala illegally present in the United States. All of them were arrested and processed for removal. Here's the crazy thing, though, Aaron, is the Border Patrol posted a picture of these guys on Facebook, and they've got their faces blocked out. But these guys are wearing, one of them's wearing a Eureka High School football hoodie. There it is right there. Eureka Lions football.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of these? Artisan. They all say Artisan. Artisan is a roofing company in Kalispell.
Oh, really?
A Montana roofing company. All of these illegal aliens that were just arrested, they were wearing Artisan Roofing Company t-shirts, which is a roofing company out of Kalispell.
That's interesting.
And Eureka High School football hoodies.
Now, you're a lawyer, so you know how the whole legal thing works. So, now, just because they're wearing the shirts doesn't mean they worked for the company, but why are they all wearing the shirts, right? Because you can confirm that you know of other companies that clearly have hired illegal aliens and have used that to outbid the companies that aren't hiring illegal aliens.
And that was exactly my take on this thing is, now we know why that young Montana guys can't get roofing jobs anymore. Because when I was growing up...
Well, that and then the insurance, you know, all the bureaucracy, like, you know, they take away opportunities from kids to you know,
I remember,
get good jobs and get a good work ethic.
Well, and roofing, you know, roofing is it's technically the easiest job in terms of your skills. It's hard labor and it's hard work, but it's not like, you know, electricity or plumbing or something like that that's real complicated. So it's a really good entry-level job. I remember when it used to be pretty common for Montana guys to be able to go get roofer jobs and be a roofer.
I was going to say, yeah, when I was a kid, I mean, I worked in restaurants and things like that, but
you had friends that got roofer jobs.
A ton of friends, yeah, that's what painting. They did for the summer.
A lot of my friends were painters, you know. Yeah. But unfortunately, now in Montana, almost all of the painters and roofers are illegal aliens. You saw a lot of comments on the Border Patrol post from people in Kalispell. Some people were saying, oh, wow, this proves artisan roofing is hiring illegal aliens. And then other people were saying, no, no, artisan roofing is fully legit. Like, they require all their subs to be, you know, legal and blah, blah. And so then what they do is they sub, and then like three or four things down the line. Now you've got a crew showing up on your house.
Separation.
Yeah, well, now you, but then a crew shows up at your house. You go to artisan roofing, you hire artisan roofing. Then a crew shows up at your house. They're wearing artisan roofing hoodies, and they're all illegal aliens. They don't speak English. And here's the worst part. They don't have insurance. They don't have insurance. So then when they screw something up, then you're not in a good spot. So anyway, that was a big story.
When you say you, meaning the company or you, the homeowner?
The homeowner.
Because
you got an illegal alien without insurance working on your house. If they screw it up, if somebody dies, if somebody falls off the roof, that's on the owner.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah. And by the way, that story, yeah, it was great to see NBC Montana report that news, because so often I've been finding, why am I the only guy reporting this news? I'm the talk radio commentary guy. The news people should be covering the news. Why aren't the news people covering the news? Why do I have to put the news hat on again to cover the news that the news refuses to cover? You know, so good job by NBC for covering that one.
Yeah, but your Montana Talk story about the Trende Aragua guys, based on the number of people I saw commenting and sharing that on social media, I'm assuming that you got a lot of
huge numbers
on that. Yeah.
Anytime, any story I've written, I shouldn't be saying this, although actually I should, because actually I think some of the TV stations started to figure it out, because about 2 days after I covered the Trende Aragua story out of the Havre Border Patrol sector, they covered it. But again, no follow-up. No, like, hey, who is this woman that was arrested? Why is her face blurred out? Oh, right. Well, let's call the federal court. And so I did. I reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office. They told me who the woman was that was arrested. Here's the case number and PACER. And then David was nice enough to pull the federal court documents for us. You said it best. I hadn't even read the affidavit from the Border Patrol yet. You read it, and you're like, ooh, this thing looks spicy. Yeah. Boy, was that thing spicy, huh?
Yeah, it really was. And it's just so good to see this stuff happening. And, you know, some people commented, you know, five down, 15 million to go.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, on a related front, yesterday I had Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla on the show, who's the sheriff in Shelby, and he said, oh, yeah, we have run-ins with illegal aliens all the time. And he confirmed that this woman who was smuggling these Trende Aragua operatives, she was on the radar of federal law enforcement long before January 20th of 2025, but it took President Donald J. Trump to finally come in and actually start removing these criminal alien gang members from this country. I mean,
and here's what I'd say to the non-gang member illegal aliens that are just doing roofing jobs and painting jobs here. Go home, so then you're not barred from coming here, because if you get arrested and deported, you're not coming back. But if you go home now, you can apply legally.
Self-deport. Yes, good reminder. We had a couple other stories you wanted to talk about this morning here as well.
Go ahead, roll with it. I wanted to highlight the Yellowstone County Republican Party has a huge event coming up. Everybody's invited. Tickets are on sale now. We're calling it the Golden Age. It's the Lincoln-Reagan Day dinner set for May 23rd, Friday, May 23rd. Doors open at 5. We've got a couple of fantastic speakers. We've got Nick Adams, the CEO for the Foundation for Liberty and Greatness. We've got Congressman Troy Downing. We're going to also invite other state officials. We're hoping to get some other Republican elected officials there to speak as well. But these are great events, great opportunity to meet people, great opportunity to hear some fantastic speak. And here's the wonderful thing, a great opportunity to support the Yellowstone County Republican Party, whose sole mission is to get Republicans elected to office, which I fully believe in. So anyways, check it out.
Yellowstone County, man, you look at Yellowstone County when Bullock was defeated in 20, when Tester was defeated in 24, look at the way those numbers ran up in Yellowstone County. Massive. Gallatin County, I don't think we can announce who their speaker is going to be yet, but they've got an incredible speaker coming as well for their Lincoln-Reagan dinner. So we'll keep you posted on that one for our friends in 1450 KMMS country as well. Since we're talking about events, I want to give a shout out. Yeah, today is April 3rd. Tonight, 6 p.m., it's bingo night at the High Horse Saloon and Eatery in Billings. It's presented by the Bull Mountain Brothers in association with Warrior Wishes Montana. Miguel dropped that by for us, so I wanted to give that a little shout-out here as well. What was topic number three you wanted to cover, David?
So the topic number three was, you know, last night at the Republican Party meeting here in Yellowstone County, we had Pam Ellis come, and she's running for the Heights Water Board. And, you know, I've been sort of following the headlines about the Heights Water Board here over the last couple of years, and as far as I could tell, it's been a disaster. But Pam Ellis was talking about sort of some of the illegal activities that they've been doing up there, the illegal business connection fees for new businesses to connect to the Heights Water District. She talked about Larry Brewster had a bill to allow consolidation of the Heights Water District in here. There's other candidates up there that are running specifically to protect the staff of the Heights Water District, who apparently is kind of abusing their power. Pam Ellis is running to represent the ratepayers. She actually said she's a Democrat.
Yeah,
but
she is.
It's a nonpartisan race.
No, Pam Ellis is a Democrat. I remember first meeting her at actually a Democrat, Yellowstone County Democrats meeting. But she's a nice lady. She's a smart lady. And when it comes to good governance things, she raises some really good questions. I mean, she could,
yeah.
She will doge these places.
Yeah,
right?
And she said last night that, you know, she's basically running to clean up the fiscal mess there. And she said, somebody said, you're a fiscal conservative, you shouldn't be a Democrat. And she said, well, I am a fiscal conservative, but I'm also a Democrat. So anyway, want to throw her out there. If folks are up in the Heights, pay attention
old
to those
school
folks.
Democrat. Yeah,
yeah,
very
right.
Hard to find. Very hard to find. All right, hold that thought. I got to get David's take after the break. A liberal judge in Missoula blocks the bill to protect women's bathrooms and more.
Hey.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, David, send it out to me. This is another, all right, keep it up, liberal judges. Keep it up, Democrats. Keep showing us how radical you are. Keep poking your finger in the eye of the people of Montana, because, look, the conservative movement and everyday Montanans have never just effectively organized when it comes to judicial races and to our Supreme Court races. I truly believe that the left-wing majority mob on the Montana Supreme Court, it's destined to fall eventually. It's destined to turn eventually. But that's the last holdout, the last bastion of liberalism in Montana. But in the meantime, we're just seeing disastrous decision after disastrous decision. So the legislature, Republicans United, the legislature passes a bill to protect women's safe spaces, not just bathrooms, locker rooms, women's shelters. Why does a dude need to be going to a woman's shelter, right, when they go there to probably seek refuge from some weird dude? And then you want some weird dude in the women's shelter, women's prisons, all sorts of protections, right? But a liberal judge in Missoula is already blocking that bill that was signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte just, what, a few days ago.
Ridiculous. I heard on the, I mean, I obviously disagree with that ruling. I heard on one of the news things that the basis for, and I haven't read the order or anything like that, but the news post said that the basis for this was that the ACLU claims that it violates transgender people's right of access or right to access. And let me just say, Aaron, In all of my years of law school and reading case law and reading the Constitution never, ever, ever heard of in my life the right to access the opposite sex's bathroom. And here's the other thing.
Yeah, we're not talking about national forest land here. We're talking
right.
about the women's bathroom
right.
or a women's shelter. We're not talking about, hey, I want to go hunting on BLM land.
Right. So, I mean, it's not a thing that anybody's ever heard of, and it's kind of ridiculous, I think. But, you know, who knows? I mean, we can make up, I guess you can make up rights and things like that. But, no, it's just so unfortunate to see these rulings come out. And here's my problem with it. I actually think it's rulings like that that are driving the public's disrespect for the courts and disrespect for the rule of law. And as somebody who's a true believer in our constitutional system of government, and I do believe in an independent judiciary and everything else, to me it makes me very upset and sad to see the public's respect for the rule of law and the judiciary going down into the tank because of certain rulings that are coming out that most people disagree with and most people can't wrap their heads around. And here's the other thing. Oh, it's going to be so hard. You hear from these people. How is anybody going to comply with this new law? There's no funding for the public's organizations to comply with this new law. And I'm like, we've had men and women's restrooms from the very beginning. You don't have to. There's nothing to comply with or change here.
Yeah, you got. They're the ones that are trying to change something that has always been.
Right.
I mean, somebody please tell me when in our nation's history it was normal routine practice for a man to walk into the women's bathroom and not get his butt kicked, right? Yeah.
And can we also stop referring to their sex at birth or their sex assigned at birth? No, there is no something at birth or this at birth or something assigned at birth. No, you're either a man or a woman.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you were at birth.
Yeah. It's, but again, just like what we saw in Wisconsin, like the Democrats, they have, they've got the trial lawyer lobby, they've got Planned Parenthood, they've got the ACLU, they've got their Democrat Party mega donors that have been organized for years focused on judicial elections and Supreme Court elections. And so, again, it seems like every Republican in Montana loves to get involved in intra-party feuds. And look, it's important to hold people accountable. I'm not saying not to do that. But again, it just reminds me, like, how much time and effort was wasted on primary election battles a year ago when people could have been focused on winning Supreme Court seats? Because here we go again. Whether you're one of the nine in the state Senate or whether you're a Freedom Caucus member or whether you don't attend any caucus. They took all of your work and they threw it in a trash can, this left-wing radical judge in Missoula, Montana. And it's just always such a joke, too. Like, oh, we're gonna go run and whine to some liberal judge in Missoula. You know, why did this case go to a Missoula judge?
Give me a break. Well, it used to be that Yellowstone County had so many judges that were favorable to some of these types of cases that they would always file in Yellowstone County because then they could say, hey, even a Yellowstone County judge ruled in our favor. It could rebut exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and it would go to what's-his-face, to Moses,
yeah.
who was bankrolled by Planned Parenthood, et cetera, and he's gone now.
You mentioned sort of like the division amongst Republicans and some of that stuff, and it reminded me of something that really kind of gave something that really made me think, what the heck is going on here? So the Montana House gave initial approval to the state budget bill the other day. Q2 News reported that the $16 billion spending bill passed with support of 36 Republicans and 24 Democrats, and then 21 Republicans and 18 Democrats in opposition. And so I'm like, what's going on here? Why do you have like half the Democrats and half the Republicans voting in favor and then half the Republicans and half the Democrats voting against it? I really don't know what's going on with that budget, but it's like, okay, so basically, as far as I can tell, in the Montana legislature, we no longer have two political parties. You have all sorts of weird things going on that I can't happen to explain. But when you've got a budget getting passed with 50% Democrat, 50% Republican support, 50% Democrat, 50% Republican opposed, what relevance do the political parties have at that point?
Well, that was my rant about the income tax proposal. What did it get? 47 votes in a 50-member Senate in the Montana Senate? And so that was my message to the Republicans. Like, guys, if the Democrats are voting with you on this, it's probably not a Republican tax proposal that you're doing here.
It was only $200 million, too. And it's like, $200 million? We need like a billion.
Well, yeah, we're owed more of our money back. I mean, that's why I prefer the governor's approach in this scenario, because it's across the board tax relief. That's conservative. That's Republican. That also, tax cuts will lead to more revenue. So again, okay, if you really want the 4.7% instead of the 4.9%, either way, just get it down from 5.9. If you want 4.7, go 4.7, but make it across the board. Don't play the class warfare game. That's what the Democrats do. And unfortunately, that's what even the Republicans are doing in the state Senate right now. And it's like, I get it that some of them just want to stand up to the governor. Okay, but like...
You're seeing so much more of that on the Republican side. For example, and I hate to bring this up or say this, but Pete Hegseth, you're covering Pete Hegseth's military standards for readiness.
Yeah.
You know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the response would not be, hey, we're going to keep women in combat roles, but we're just going to have the same stand. No, the response would be, no, you've got, when you're in the trenches, you need an all-male unit. No more women in the frontline trenches so you're even seeing the Republicans moving further to the left. I mean, I'm sure Pete Hegseth 15 years ago would have said straight up, no women in combat roles. These are the frontline trenches. It's a special situation. You want an all-man unit on the front line in the trenches. Sorry, type of thing.
But now what he's saying is, yeah, point taken. Whereas what he's saying now is like, hey, same standards for men and women. Because what Obama did was they said, well, we're going to put women in combat roles, infantry, etc. But we're going to have separate standards for them. It's like, yes. No, the standards got to be the same.
They got to be able to carry the fight. They got to be able to carry the same amount of weight. Right. Yeah. Like, but I wonder
if you go down on the battlefield, it may be her, it may be me that has to carry you out of there, right? Yeah. Can we sneak in a quick phone call here, David? All right, we got Tim in Billings on the phone lines. I want to get to him before the break. Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Our Constitution, as much as we revere it, it's just a piece of paper. It has absolutely zero power. As soon as the people who wanted to purge our country came to the realization that they don't believe in God because our Constitution is only applicable to a godly people, as soon as they realize they can put their hand on the Bible, on a roll of toilet paper, on whatever they want, and they can absolutely lie about the oaths that they're taking and support our government, we were sunk, and we've been sunk, because they've taken over. Our entire ideal of this government has been subverted because of godless people who don't have the ideals that our founding fathers had. And until people turn back to God and they have a respect for God, our country is cursed.
Our system is designed, I think what he's getting at here, David, is our system is designed for a faithful people, because there's no way you can police everybody in a free country. People have to have self-restraint. What's restraining people in a post-faith environment?
A fantastic call by Tim in Billings, as always, one of the great Montana Talks callers. I agree, and it's just like, it's just like, wow, what a messed up situation we've got going on.
Yeah. Okay, he's here on the music, so am I. A quick break. Man, the hour is flying by. More with David Noble right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Fox News Commentary.
President Trump signed an executive order to protect fans from price gouging and predatory ticket scalping. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Cain Podcast.
I watched the entire Doge interview with Bret Baier.
My takeaway is, for all the people out there burning Teslas and painting penises on the door, I think you're living in an alternate reality where you believe these guys are all a bunch of computer hacker nerd kids who've been hired by Elon to execute his wishes. These are impressive people, accomplished people, who are coming in going, this is crazy the way all this is run.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
This week, flanked by his longtime ally Kid Rock, President Trump signed an executive order targeting ticket scalpers and other predatory behavior in the live entertainment ticketing industry. The order directs the FTC to work with the AG to ensure competition laws in the concert and ticketing industry are observed. The order also requires full price transparency in the ticket purchasing process, including the resale market. President Trump is committed to making concerts and other live events affordable again. He believes the greedy middlemen, the scalpers, and online bots are jacking jacking up the price of tickets, with the artists and the talent themselves seeing no benefit. The entertainment industry may not be pro-Trump, Taylor Swift, but I hope some of the haters in the industry can appreciate their president looking out for them and their fans. A big thank you once again to President Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. As skies stay mostly cloudy today, we're going to see some more scattered areas of light snow and some mixed precip moving in this afternoon across the Bozeman area with rain showers in the Billings. Highs from the lower 40s in Bozeman to about 49 in Billings. Tonight, rain and snow shower chances turn to snow showers with up to around an inch in spots with low temperatures back in the lower to middle 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Oh, man, they got me. I haven't been fooled by an April Fool's joke in a long time, but when Explore Whitefish shared an announcement on their Facebook page that Bravo was announcing Desperate Housewives of Whitefish, Montana, a new reality show, I totally thought it was real, and so did a lot of other folks. You got to go check out the comments on this story. I've got it at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the final whimper of 406-948-2836 now, or visit YHIC.com for their biggest sale of the year.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, David, I was joking with our producer, Caitlin, earlier this morning. I said, hey, Caitlin, are you familiar with Third Eye Blind? You know, because we played that Third Eye Blind song yesterday. Now I got to ask Caitlin. Caitlin, do you know who Dr. Drew is? Because back in the 90s, I mean, you could turn on, I remember listening to the radio in Chicago, and Dr. Drew would have their crazy talks on the radio, right? Sean Hannity had Dr. Drew on last night. This is our woke update of the week, by the way. Apparently, Colorado is either in the process of, or they already passed a law. They've gone so far left down there. This is the woke update of the week. They are making dead naming illegal. I have never even heard this stupid term, dead naming. What dead naming is if you grew up with a friend named Timmy, and Timmy now identifies as Amanda, if you still call Timmy Timmy, they want to throw you in jail over that. That's illegal. This is crazy.
And they want to take your kids away.
And they want to take your kids away if you don't use the pronouns of the kid's choice.
Yeah, that's a fantastic woke update, because two comments. Number one is that's obviously illegal and unconstitutional. If they were to pass that law, nobody should comply with it. It's a clear violation of the First Amendment, so that's going nowhere. But second of all, it shows that the Democrats continue to not learn their lessons. The Democrats continue to not care about the Constitution. The Democrats continue to not care about free speech or the free exercise of religion. The Democrats continue to think that going all in on the radical left-wing LGBTQIA plus agenda is somehow going to be good for them. So I'm happy to see the Democrats in Colorado continuing to push this. I'm happy to see the Montana Democrats continuing to push this stuff, because guess what? The voters don't like it.
That's right. It's a window into the crazy world. That's what Colorado does for us. It's a window into just the craziness that they want to bring to Montana eventually as well. Hey, speaking of windows, let me tell you guys about a killer deal on windows right now. Your Home Improvement Company, they've got their biggest sale of the year. It's a once-a-year event. It's going on right now. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, they got easy financing, zero down, zero interest, zero payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Again, biggest sale of the year. Let me repeat this as well. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. Get a hold of Your Home Improvement Company. You're going to love the difference. Check out YHIC.com. All right, David, we got a couple of minutes here before we run out of time. Dr. Al in studio next hour and more. What do you want to leave us with today?
Well, you got, what do you got going on during the 9 o'clock hour?
So we got the legislative update. And then I've some more open phones time. So I actually scribbled down your question about the budget, because I want to throw that to the Democrat and Republican legislators that are going to join
us. Yeah, I'm going to be very curious to hear that one, because that was a real that one really threw me for a loop. And maybe there's a good explanation for it, but man, that's going to be an interesting 9 o'clock hour. So Because what's going on up there, and what's really going on in Helena behind the scenes? Like, that's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. Well, and you and I were kind of joking off air. You know, the term uniparty is something you hear about the establishment in Washington, D.C. But is there a uniparty in Helena right now? Because, I mean, you know, on the budget, half the Republicans voted for it, half of them voted against it, half the Democrats voted for it, half the Democrats voted against it. Income tax reductions, the Democrats and Republicans all voted for the same thing in the Senate. I mean, is this a uniparty thing going on?
Right. Well, and then I saw some headline about some of the property tax relief bills going down, so that'll be interesting to hear from the legislators about kind of what's going on with these property tax relief bills, and because that's critically important.
Well, and I want to hear, too, like, I want to hear, okay, guys, what do you want to cut from state spending? Because, you know, I think everybody would agree, okay, that, you know, the governor's spending package is too much. Lou Jones has put forward a little bit lower of a spending package, but that's probably still too much. So Freedom Caucus, hey, give us a list. What needs to be cut? What needs to be trimmed out of that package? I'd love to see the full list myself. David Noble, great to see you as always. Thanks for popping in.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Dr. Al in the house right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000-square-foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Burke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.